right, good morning to all on this Monday morning. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. We got Seth Joyner in studio. He's brought to us every Monday at this time by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, well, it matters. Obviously, it does. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. Good morning, Seth.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Better with the W, but I wish it was a better team. All right, so Seth, let me...
Wait a minute. Before you get going,
yes, sir.
I got a bone to pick with one James Seltzer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, I was listening to you talk that nonsense about Dallas Goedert not being elite last week.
Hey, I already said hand up. My bad. I was wrong on that one.
I'll step in it too, Seth. I wondered it, and I would say to the point where I thought he was not elite. I thought he was very good. Look, he's obviously an incredibly physical player, but I wondered about his route running. He was amazing yesterday.
No, it's just opportunity. You know, I know a football player. I know the difference between average, good, and elite. And I've been watching this kid play, and I've been saying forever, if you give him the opportunities, and I get why he's not getting them, but if you give him the opportunity, he can be on the level of Kittles and Kelsey and LaPorta all these other guys.
That's great.
It's there. And, right. And you know, my greatest fear is that this is a one-time shot because AJ is out and you don't do it again and his contract is up this year. And if I'm him, I'm out of here because I got to be somewhere where I can get 11 targets and catch 10 balls a week.
Yeah, I mean, his career numbers are a lot lower than they should be. All right, Seth, let's get to this. So after the game yesterday, I thought, oh, man, I can't wait to talk to Seth, you know, 9 o'clock hour tomorrow, because I remember vividly when the Eagles started losing last year at the end, you were cursing the gods that you had bought in when you didn't really believe it earlier in the year. So I'm curious, after a very funky win yesterday, where you net out with this football team, 2-1, but could have been 3-0, could have been 0-3. Where do you net out with what they actually are?
So I started the season off cautiously optimistic. After the Falcons game, the optimistic went out the door, and it was just caution.
It's a great line.
Then the Falcons looked a lot better yesterday than anyone expected.
Hold on, so keep going now.
And then, you know, watching this team yesterday, you can see the potential that's there. I guess, you know, the defensive line got sick and tired of, you know, everybody talking noise about them. I, for one, I own it. Anybody who follows me on Twitter, after Jordan Davis made that sack, I said, Jordan Davis, I apologize. Great sack. You know, I think we need more accountability like that in the world of journalism and the media. If you're wrong, say you're wrong. Live up to it. Step up to the mic and own it.
I agree.
But that's the potential of what Jordan Davis could be. That's the potential of what the record of Jalen Carter could be. The linebackers were playing downhill against the run yesterday. That's the potential of what this football team could be on the defensive side of the ball. And we all want to talk about the turnovers with Jalen. You know, if you're going to have a scrambling quarterback, he's going to have some fumbles. Because he was trying to get out of the pocket to make a throw, and the defense just caught up with him. Those are going to happen. I don't know what happened with the interception, whether, you know, Devontae didn't cut it off early enough, or whether Jalen just, you know, let it go too early. I'm not sure. I can't say, you know, what the issue was there. But he's got to get the turnovers under control no matter what the circumstances are. But again, I'm not gonna sit here and beat him up on the bad plays, yet ignore all the good that he did.
I agree with you.
You know, so, I mean, you got to look at it from both sides. So now you can begin to see the potential. When you lose Becton, Lane, and you come in with Steen and Johnson, who played phenomenal, and one thing we don't do is we don't give offensive linemen a whole lot of credit unless we just fall in love with them. But those guys came in and gave up nothing yesterday. And when they wanted to run that side, they could run to that side. So you see the potential in this football team. Now it's all about consistency. Because let me tell you something. If they consistently play the way that they played yesterday, like take out all the bad on both sides of the ball and just put all the good together. And I realize you can't play you can't play under a microscope like that. The game doesn't work that way. But if this team can play that way on a consistent basis, in my opinion, they become damn near unbeatable.
Wow, you are really skewing positive.
Come on, listen.
They had no points entering the fourth quarter.
I don't care. Because you know what they do? They make the plays when they need to make them. And that's what football is always about. You look at the good teams. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have elite days. And then you're going to have days where you scratch your head. I've had them myself. But it always comes down to things are never as bad as they look, and they're never as good as you think they are. And can you step up in the moment when the game requires it? Can you step up and make the plays that are necessary? That 2-minute drive was phenomenal.
It was great.
You know, we talk about Jalen Hurts and how he played.
Yeah.
Dallas, he made that check.
Yes, he did.
That wasn't a call play.
Right.
They were in a different play. Jalen checked to that play to get you to 61 yards to put you in position to make the play, to make the touchdown that wins you the game.
To win the game. Yeah.
And, Jalen did turn it over in this game. He's continued to turn it over this season, but we still had a chance because mm-hmm. the defense kept us in the game. What did Vic Fangio do that gave us such a good chance? What did Vic Fangio do that made week three different? Like, we were stuffing people right at the gates.
And I'll ask this addendum question. Where did guys just play better?
Well, listen, we live in a different era than when you and I played, John. I mean, a lot of times in our era, the only way you could hear what somebody had to say about you was either, on WIP when it was coming along in its infancy.
Yep.
Or in the newspaper. Now, if you got, a Twitter feed, a Instagram, a YouTube channel, every time Dick and Harry can start his own podcast and have an opinion. And if you say something that's a lightning rod, you can go viral. And these kids today that's playing, they live via the social media platforms. So they hear and they see everything that we say about them, okay? And if you have an ounce of manhood in you, when someone doubts you, when someone has something to say about you, then there's this thing called pride that swells up in you. Because, listen, they can play football. I mean, Jordan Davis doesn't get drafted in the first round because he couldn't play. He gets drafted in the first round because he can play. My question is, can he play consistently like that all the time?
Yep.
Because then if he does, my statement that that's a wasted draft pick is null and void.
Right.
But if he continues to prove that this is how he's going to play, like he played in week one and week two where we don't see anything out of him, then guess what? It's a wasted draft pick.
Yeah, at that level. I'll say this. To me, he's probably played around a third-round draft pick level to this point in his career. Like, he's not a fifth- or sixth-round pick guy, but he hasn't played well enough to warrant having been a first-round pick. It's in there, but it doesn't come out enough.
And properly motivated, he and Jalen Carter were outstanding. Or properly motivated or properly positioned.
Yeah.
Which
focused,
is
focused and shape, like whatever all that combination is. Hey, all of it.
Hey, listen. Every football player I've ever seen worth his salt has this thing called pride inside of him. Not only from the standpoint of what you say, but I've been in games before where we're getting drugged through the mud. And it's like, at some point in time, as a man playing a game of football, you got to say enough. Yeah. I'm not getting my ass kicked anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to start doing some ass kicking. And if you don't have that, you can never evolve and be the type of player or the type of team collectively, guys, that you really want to be.
But you can feel when that happens. Like, that's something that is so palpable in every football game that's played. When one side in that contest, because there's 11 of them. There's 11 one-on-one battles on every mm-hmm. play, and you as an individual, as a linebacker, you can tell when you break that guard, when that guard no longer wants to take you on, wants to try to move you. You can tell who wins. You can tell when you take over physically. Right out the gates in this one, we'd won. We had won by the way they were playing.
Absolutely.
With the emotion, the anger, the frustration. It was all coming out the way they were playing.
All right, this is great. So, Seth, let's get to the head coach now. Because to John's point.
One little small point before that. In every game, there's a breaking point. In every game, there's a breaking point. The will to win is there with everyone. The question is, does everybody have the will to prepare to win? And do you have the will to maintain that resiliency all the way through the game.
Yeah.
But with a lot of teams, the teams that know how to win, when it comes to the breaking point, they just keep pushing. When other teams break at the breaking point, you can see it just disintegrate and everything goes away.
I'd say Joel's a good example of a guy who can dominate portions of a game, but when it's the fourth quarter and there's 3 minutes left, it's like, what am I going to get from the big guy? Number one, he's probably a little tired. And number two, he just has never struck me as the greatest closer, you know. And so
part of it, can you dig down when you have to dig
totally.
Down?
Totally.
It's all good to score 20 points in the first quarter, but we need 20 in the fourth.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, you're sitting over there sucking air.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a factor. All right, let's get to the coach here. So they did some stuff good. I don't think they did quite as much good as maybe the two of you are saying, but they did some really good stuff. So when Sirianni was making those decisions and then they didn't work and then you're set, you in, and you're sitting there watching the game thinking, were you thinking or texting or tweeting or saying to a friend, this guy might not be here much longer?
Well, listen, let's put this to bed. Nick Sirianni ain't going nowhere.
Well, not this week, but he might after the year.
Yeah, well, we can talk about...
Because his job is on the line this year.
We can talk about afterwards. Okay, but a guy with a 34-17 record, a Super Bowl appearance, Super Bowl loss, and 3 straight years in the playoffs, he's not going anywhere till the season's over.
I agree with that.
That's one of the reasons why he wasn't exiting the NovaCare Center this past year, because how do you justify firing a coach with those types of numbers?
Well, I will say this. When Bill Belichick is available, you can justify it after this year. Let's say they don't. Let's say AJ gets back and Devontae gets back and all that. This team goes 9-8, 10-7, loses in the first round. You can justify it. I mean, I'm watching that game yesterday.
You want to know who the next head coach of this team is going to be if they decide to move?
You're going to say Kellen Moore, aren't you?
Kellen Moore is going to be the new head coach. I promise you. All you want.
I want no parts of Belichick.
But this reminds me of Richie Kotite being brought in Buddy's last year. We exited the playoffs 3 straight years in a row in the first round. They brought in Kotite. They made Buddy fire Ted Plum, who was the offensive coordinator. And every person knew that if we didn't win in at least the first round game in the playoffs, who was going to be the head coach the next year? This is what this is. Because you have to, at this point in time, you have to figure out how you create continuity for Jalen Hurts. You're paying him $250 million, okay? He ain't going nowhere. People can keep talking.
I don't know about that.
Stop it. Wait, what are you going to get better?
Well, I don't know, but I'll say this. I'll stand by as of now, and I might change this in a month or two. As of now, I'll stand by what I said after the Tampa Bay playoff loss last year. I do not think Jalen will be the starting quarterback in 2026. Now, that gives you two off seasons to figure it out, but I'm just telling you, if I had to make a call right now, in or out 2026, I think it's more likely Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman will be out. I hope I'm wrong, because he plays well enough to make it an easy decision.
Joe, let me tell you something. You don't position the kind of talent that you have on this team. You don't build that to turn around and turn it over to a young quarterback that's got to figure out how to get
there. Well, they did it at the end of Carson. They handed it over to Jalen Hurts.
They had to. Carson wanted out of here.
Well, he also stunk.
Well, listen, all Carson had to do to stay here, Joe, was when Nick Sirianni said there's no starting jobs, everybody's going to compete, they just paid you a boatload of money. Dummy, you're going to be the starting quarterback. You got a young quarterback who's coming. Okay, but you're going to be the starting quarterback. There's no doubt about that. He wanted assurances that he didn't have to compete. Bye. Leave. Because everybody's got to compete. That's the only reason that Carson wasn't here. But you're not assembling all of this talent to turn around and have to dive through the development years. They're doing that with Jalen now. And my whole point is why, Kellen Moore's going to be here because you have to give him continuity. If he's going to be your quarterback and you're going to pay him a boatload of money, you owe him continuity to give him a system that not only he can use and learn, but a system that he can master. And when you see him making changes at the line of scrimmage, him asking for total control of setting protections, he's beginning to master the game now. Now, he's got to stop the turnovers. That's going to be the rallying cry. But look at how much better he's playing when he's doing what he does.
Look, 215-592-9494 to jump in on this. I'll say this about if they ever do make a coaching change, and at some point it's going to happen. To this point, their history, because Belichick's an option, Kellen Moore, as you're saying, is an option. Their history shows to this point, they typically, other than Chip Kelly, hire a guy you've basically never heard of, that he's not on the map. Andy wasn't on the map. Doug wasn't on the map, and we heard of him as an Eagles quarterback, but he wasn't someone anyone thought they were going to hire. Sirianni was completely off the map. They could go that route. Look, that's not this week's problem. I know a lot of people yesterday
Kellen's on the map.
He's on the map. No, he's an option. I'm not saying he's not an option.
He's on the map, but he's more along the lines of Doug Peterson and Nick Sirianni than he is Bill Belichick.
Oh, I agree with that.
I don't care what nobody said. They're not hiring Bill Belichick. You need to stop.
All right, let's go to Tom in Abington. Yo, Tom.
Yo, gang. How we doing this morning?
Doing well, Tom.
You know, I have spent 50 years on this spinning rock rooting for this squad, and yesterday was the most pissed off I've ever been after a win.
Look, I thought it was really ugly and dirty, but still a W. You tell me your thoughts, Tom.
Well, they won in spite of Nish Sirianni. So after the game, I put on the red zone. So I like watching all the games. And as you're watching the games, they'll put stats on the side and tell you who the leaders are for the day. So after the 1 o'clock slate, we had the leading rusher in Barkley, the leading receiver in Goddard, and somehow the second leading quarterback in Hurts, and they still almost lost that game.
Well, for what it's worth, some of that's on Jalen. He had two big turnovers. But listen, Nick's decisions were a disaster. They actually were beyond a disaster. They were a fiasco.
Yeah, it was a fiasco. He, when it comes to fourth down decisions, he's Doug Peterson in 17, only without the success. It's driving me bananas.
Well, the weird thing, Tom, is I thought Nick was really good at it in his first couple years. And you would think if you have less responsibility with the offense, that if anything, you should be more in tune. I don't want to say paying attention, because we know he's paying attention, but like getting it right when it's your turn to have a crack at it.
I think that he has so little to do that he's trying to,
couple people have said that
with these decisions, and it's backfiring on him. It's just driving me nuts.
It's possible. I mean, I've heard a few people say that. Tom, appreciate the call. Let's go to Wade.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead,
before you go to Wade.
Yeah.
See, this is the problem. What you just talked about, his success with going for it on fourth down. This is the problem that, in my opinion, that analytics once again creates, because the more success these guys have, the more emboldened that they are to do it. And the more that emboldened they are to do it, the more likely that the law of averages is going to catch up with.
I agree with you.
Because I think that a successful team, in going for it is probably right around 50-52%. So analytics is highly probable. It's really a 50-50 proposition. So sometimes you're going to get away with it. Sometimes you're not going to get away with it. And if you get away with it long enough, sooner or later, the law of averages is going to bite you in the ass and it's going to go the other way. You can look across all games. Pete Carroll, you think if you gave him a redo, he'd hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch?
Right.
Dan Campbell last year, you think if you give him a redo, he'd kick the field goal instead of going for it and tie the game and give his team a chance? He just stole a chance for his team to go to a Super Bowl because – he was living on the analytics and Greg Olsen and everybody else. Well, he's been aggressive all year. I expect for him to go for it. No, you don't. You kick the damn field goal. Like, Nick almost lost the game yesterday.
No question.
Kick the field goals. Especially, you're seeing that this is going to be a low-scoring game. You have an opportunity to kick a field goal and go in 3-3 at halftime and come out with the ball in the second half. You have another opportunity to go up 6-3. And instead of doing that, now all of a sudden, all it takes is one possession for them to give you a game. Now all of a sudden they have the lead, and here we are in pressure situation. It didn't have to be that way.
No,
if you just take the points. You did the same thing last week and we lost the game. And you doing the same thing this week and you almost cost the team another game.
Well, I agree, and I'll add this. I think he's coaching like he has the talent from 2 years ago, and he doesn't totally. I mean, let's put it this way. He doesn't have the same – the offense isn't humming the same way. So you got to feel the chessboard has changed with it. That's my point. Like, Feel the game. Feel
the
moment.
He's emboldened, man. I'm telling you. He's emboldened to do it. And until he gets out of it, we're going to experience more and more of this. So I apologize for cutting you off.
No, no, you're...
I know you got you.
No, it's all good. You know, this Monday show, I was... kind of honestly feel a little annoyed when we get to this point in the program after an Eagles game because I feel like we could do the show for 24 straight hours. That's how much content there is. Now, the good news is, while it won't be us doing the show, there will be 24 straight hours of content. And then we'll be back in here tomorrow, and away we go again.
I got to tell you something.
Yes.
This song right here.
Yep.
This is Jimi. Jimi Hendrix playing bass. This is Jimi Hendrix playing guitar and Jimi Hendrix singing and Jimi Hendrix playing bass because his bassist, Noel Redding, walked out of the session while they were recording All Along the Watchtower. Noel Redding was jealous of Jimmy's virtuosity, and he was like, the heck with this, I'm out of here. So Jimmy went over, he's like, oh, let me grab his, okay.
Did it himself.
Yeah, did it himself, one take, that's the bass line.
Pulled a Ben Simmons, that guy. It's just, I'm out, I'm outie.
Kinda.
I thought of Ben, by the way, earlier.
Ben Simmons.
So Seth, you entered the studio with Seth when you talked about you referenced something about pride. And it comes a time for an athlete to have pride.
Ben Simmons and pride.
While we're hopping topics, and I'd love to get you on that, but James, let me ask you this question. So there's drinking, and then there's partying.
Mm-hmm.
If the Phillies win the division tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And let's, like, they enter today a game back of the Dodgers with six to go. I think they will drink tonight. They will certainly toast tonight and probably have some alcohol. But, James, with only five to go after tonight, including another one tomorrow night, will they party tonight?
I don't think so. I think that they'll spray the champagne and all that and say we won the division, but it won't be overboard. Like, I don't think we'll have a hangover game.
You can spray without partying.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
Hold on. I'll take it back. You can spray and party, but not
without
drink
drinking.
Hard.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, I mean, John, that is a, you know, if you're Rob Thompson, like, that actually matters.
Joe,
I'm trying to win the division.
How old are you?
46.
You can drink. Not when you're 20-something years old or in your early 30s. No, you don't.
I mean, they got another game. You know, 20 hours after this game ends, they got another one.
Hey, listen, man. I play some of my best games with a little bit of haze.
Look at you.
Yeah, buddy.
Look at you. So, Seth, let's
do that when you're younger, right?
Yes, sir.
So, Seth, let's get back to you as it relates to Devontae for a second. Were you ever knocked out in a game? There's reports Devontae was knocked out yesterday. Did you ever have that?
No. I've never been out. I've seen a couple of people knocked out. Eric Allen knocked a guy out. Jeff Kemp was knocked out, had his feet crossed like he was watching TV on his Florida vet. I've seen it, but I've never experienced it.
Eyes can be really strange, and the breathing can be really strange when it happens.
Man, what in the world? Why is Devontae Smith running those types of routes at 165 pounds? Please tell me.
Well, they got to get someone the ball.
Find somebody else to do it besides him. Those are usually A.J. Brown routes.
Well, they are, but he's not there. I will say, and James, you'll remember this well. Deshaun's career, after he took that hit in that one game.
100%, 1,000,000%, there was a before and after that hit.
There was.
No doubt.
You remember that, Ray? I mean, it just,
oh, yeah.
The routes changed. The whole thing changed.
It takes one of those shots.
I think it was an Atlanta Falcon that hit him, I think, in whatever year that
Devontae's
was.
Devontae's built different. You see the look on his face when he was sitting up on the ground. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was like, all right, I got something for y'all. If I can get through this concussion protocol and get back in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. We're going to get to the Merrill montage shortly. Also, time's yours eventually. OG Wade right now. Good morning, OG.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
What's up, OG?
What's happening?
Dog, what's good, man?
Hey, man, the Eagles got a W. That's got to be a good way to start the week, no?
That's very important. What I wanted to do is I heard Donald Duck there, Joe DeCamera, says that quarterback.
I got to tell you something, man.
How rude. Come on, man.
Why is he Donald Duck?
Above average quarterbacks leads the league in turnovers, right?
Hold on. You got to play it out what I said. I said if they all play the same amount of games, which means you got your scrub quarterbacks who often get benched, and then you get your quarterbacks to get injured. But if all 32 quarterbacks play all the games, you're not going to have a slightly above average quarterback, typically leading the league in interceptions or in turnovers.
Okay, so could you explain to me why Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes has double figure interceptions every year?
Well, Josh Allen is reckless, and it's the weakest part of his game. Well, that and the fact that he takes hits are the two worst parts of his game. And obviously, you know, I mean, Mahomes is going to turn it over at times, but Mahomes is an incredible player, AJ. I mean, OG, he's the best, like literally the best.
Okay, I would say as is Jalen.
Let's back it up. Now let's get that. You remember in third grade, the teacher would say, let's put the thinking caps on, boys and girls. So, OG Wade, let's put the thinking cap on for a second. Are you telling me that Jalen Hurts is, because the call's going to end if the answer is yes. Are you telling me that Jalen Hurts is the best player in football?
I do. Yes, I am.
Okay.
You just hung up? I like that.
We're done.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Come on. Guys, I'll give you the stuff he does great. I'll tell you about it. I see it. I praise it. I talk about it. The good stuff is why he is slightly above average. The bad stuff's horrendous. It goes both ways. I mean, Seth, he is a... see, here's the thing, Seth, and I made this point earlier. For a long time, I'm talking like 30 years or so, I think it's been pretty easy to see with the Eagles quarterbacks. They're generally like really good or really not good. This one is like, this reminds me more of like Carson 2019. He hasn't fallen off a cliff. He's not that. But like, it nets out what's. Seth, do you agree with the statement Jalen Hurts is a slightly above average quarterback of the starting quarterbacks?
No.
You think he's better than that?
I think he's top 10. I would venture to say he's somewhere between 4 and 10.
Oh.
Let me tell you something.
10 maybe, 4 no shot.
Let me tell you something. And this is why, okay? All the guys that we talk about that are top 10 quarterbacks, the top 5 quarterbacks, let's take Patrick Mahomes out of the equation.
Sure. Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Tell me, what has Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott.
Yeah. And there's Aaron Rodgers. There's Purdy.
Purdy. Yeah, no, but I mean, I'm talking about these recent guys.
Okay.
Okay. With the exception of Joe Burrow, none of those other guys have accomplished any of the things that Jalen Hurts has.
Okay? Well, that he did one year, I would say.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, Joe. What's the objective? The objective is to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Okay?
Well, let me ask you this question.
Joe Burrow's the only one that's done that.
No, I get it. Okay. Yeah, he got there and came close.
But we hold all of these other quarterbacks in high regard. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that Josh Allen tied Jalen Hurts last year in interceptions.
Yep.
And this assertion that above average quarterbacks, I watched Brett Favre and played with Brett Favre and watched him throw interceptions that were worse than anything that Jalen Hurts has done.
True, right. But to be fair, Favre's spectacular was far more spectacular than Hurts' spectacular.
I understand that. But
like, far more.
But think about this, okay? You can either have a quarterback who is elite, or you can have a quarterback that's a game manager. The quarterback that's elite, he is going to take some risks and throw some balls that managers will not throw. They won't even take the chance.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? I'm not saying that we have to live with Jalen Hurts turning the ball over. I think he realizes that he's got to get that under control.
He's learning to manage
but
that.
But if you want a quarterback to be elite, guess what? He's going to throw some interceptions because he's going to also complete some balls that most quarterbacks can't complete. They're not even going to try to complete.
I agree with you on that.
So there's a certain amount of these interceptions that we're going to have to live with. So Jalen's got 4 interceptions in 3 games right now. Am I correct?
Well, he's got 6 turnovers. I only count 5 because the one where the snap hit him in the belly wasn't his fault. He's got 5 total turnovers.
Okay. So I'm going to give him 4 interceptions right now. Theoretically, Jalen Hurts can go the rest of the season and not throw another interception, and then what's the perception going to be? What are we going to talk about then?
But that's not going to happen.
You never know, Joe.
Come on, there's 14 games left in the regular season. He's not going to not throw an interception.
Nick Foles threw 27 interceptions and I mean 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. So nothing is inconceivable, Joe. I'm just saying.
Listen, we could get hit by an asteroid and all die today, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You're not on right. My bingo card.
You're damn right. You know?
And I tell you what, you know what's even better than this? Listening to the win yesterday. Let's listen to Merrill and Mike. Going to need a montage.
We're going to need a montage.
Look out for the asteroid, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the 1-1 Eagles trying to bounce back from a heartbreaking loss, and the 2-0 Saints, who so far have been remarkable. Carr back. Carr being chased. He's sacked back at the 25-yard line. Jordan Davis. Hurts back. Hurts looking. He fires, and it is intercepted in the end zone. Carr takes the snap. He's back. He fires, and again it's knocked down at the line of scrimmage. It's knocked down by Jalen Carter. Back goes Hurts. He's looking. He steps up. He dashes out of harm's way. He starts to run. He falls. He fumbles the football and then makes a tackle. Hurts back. He's got time. He's looking. He is firing. And it is complete. Goddard at the 20. Goddard at the 15. Hurts with a beautifully timed ball to Goddard. They're going to tush push. No, they give it off inside. And they're not going to pick it up. They're not going to pick it up. I don't understand why you go for it there. Hurts back. Here comes the rush. He steps up. He's hit. He drops. They've sacked them at the 40.
Unbelievable.
Once again, the Eagles look 3 points in the face and turned away. We have reached the end of the third quarter with the score. The Saints 3, the Eagles nothing. It is second down and 5. Do they keep it on the ground with Saquon Barkley? They do. He breaks free. He's at the 50, the 40, the 30. He's going to go. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. 65-yard touchdown run, and the Eagles not only score, but they take the lead. His career longest is 61. Ball is spotted. Kick is away. And the kick is no good. And just like that, the Saints take over at midfield. Back goes Carr. He is firing. Wide open. And is it caught? Yes, touchdown on the far side by Olave, who beat Gardner Johnson. Hurts is back. Hurts steps up. He fires. He completes it. He's going to have a first down or more. Down the left sideline. Running with the football. All the way across the 10. Down to the 5 is Goddard. 1:05 remaining. The Eagles have a first and goal from the 5. Motion. Give. Barkley. Up the middle. Touchdown! Eagles take the lead. Carr steps up. Hit as he fires the football, and it is intercepted! It is intercepted by Reed Blankenship! It's intercepted by Reed Blankenship! And the Eagles are going to pull off the upset!
Well, they sure did. It was quite a game, and a roller coaster, a nutso game. The Eagles pulled out to 2-1 on the season. All right, time's yours, and more with Seth Joyner, more with Seth, and time's yours coming up here in just 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you something here. Let me tell you about MHS Lift. Look, we're all looking for winners in sports. We're all looking for winners in business. And with MHS Lift, you're definitely getting a winner. A winner. Because the great team of MHS Lift is leading the way in the forklift industry in the Delaware Valley with Andy and Brett Levin and all the wonderful work they do with their squad at MHS Lift. An award-winning, nationally recognized material handling equipment company that since 1970 has been offering everything that your equipment, that offers everything that your warehouse needs. From forklifts and equipment rentals to racking solutions and warehouse optimization, MHS Lift does it all. And they always put you, the customer, first with over 100 service technicians on call. MHS Lift maintenance programs ensure your equipment runs smoothly, minimizing downtime and maximizing efficiency. And they've got a simple mission to provide the best equipment, services, and integrated solutions to keep your operations moving forward. If you are ready to elevate your business, then call MHS Lift and call them today at 888-MHS-LIFT. You can also go to MHSLIFT.com. That is MHSLIFT.com.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, I'm going to say this. If Wechter and Seltzer are on top of their game, John, this will be one of those ones where the early Time's Yours calls are the complainers.
Yes.
And the later times yours calls are the celebrators.
You can hear the evolution.
Seth, we'll find out if Seltzer and Wechter had their act together today. Let's hit it. With, by the way, times yours brought to us by Xfinity Mobile. The sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with times yours. Okay, it starts negative, as I thought it would. So that was a Carson and Jalen comparison. Not the only one made yesterday. I think a lot of people on Twitter were going there. Okay, game's not over yet. I'm pretty sure the game, when that guy called, the game was still going on. Yeah, listen. I mean, Sirianni is so lucky they won. So
let's
lucky
not lose
they
sight
won.
Of the fact that they did win. But yeah. I agree with you. If this game was lost, there's discussion all over the place about, hey, wait, week five? Week five, is Nick going to survive until week five? The week five bye. Is that an appropriate time to fire a coach?
Listen, it might not have been on the table for Lurie and Howie. It would have been on the table for a lot of fans. A lot. All right, starting to pick up here. Here. Wow.
She ain't sleeping for a week, you know that, right?
I mean, wow.
It's emotional.
Ooh.
What was that?
All right, with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The time's yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, let's wrap up the Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Seth, if you can, quickly, give me an answer to this question. Which individual or group is most responsible for the win yesterday? Is it A, Saquon, B, Dallas Goedert, or C, the defense?
Oh, the defense.
Okay, John, how do you think people voted on this?
Saquon?
Defense.
Oh, good.
75%.
Wow.
15% for Saquon, 10% for Dallas Goedert. The other poll question, do you think more positive or negative after yesterday's game? Seltzer, where do you net out on this one? Positive or negative?
I would go positives, but it's close. I get it.
Ray, you're positive?
Positive, yes.
Which
is unusual
positive,
for me.
I'm positive also, but only barely positive. John, how do you think people... I know, Seth, I know you're positive based on what you said. John, how do you think people voted, positive or negative?
80% say positive.
52% positive.
Jeez, wow. That's harsh.
They got some work
that's
to do.
That's the Nick Sirianni effect.
Yeah. Oh, good man. Point. Good point.
Seth, people,
it just puts such a damper on everything.
Yeah.
Look, the black cloud hovering overhead with lightning and drizzle.
Sirianni on our show tomorrow.
Mm.
Buckle
hey, man,
up.
Listen, you need to give James some props on that, you know, time's yours, man.
Yeah, well, I think it was really Wechter.
Give it to Wechter, yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you what, James, you know, you made my morning with that blast from the past from Ohio players. Roller coaster. I was like,
I got you, brother.
Yeah, Seth, that was a blast from the past.
Why do we only do 1 hour in here with you? I mean,
I don't know. Hey, listen, man, talk to Rod.
It starts and it stops. I mean, I need more. It's like when you
Seth,
went to Arizona. I need more.
I'm here, man.
No more Cardinals.
Roller coaster.
I'm here. You know what? Talk to Rod. I need a day.
You do.
I mean, just like give me Tuesday, you know, from start to finish or whatever it is.
Okay.
But like this hour, like I could stay in the bed for this.
All right, everyone.
It literally goes by like
it
that.
It really does. Yeah. Everyone have a great, tremendous rest of the day. Phillies hopefully clinch it tonight, the division that is.